Hello, this is Abby.
Dear Abby, this is gonna be a long one.
Oh boy.
Dear Abby, how do you tell the difference between a new exciting crush and a rebound?
Does it matter?
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Welcome to our little corner of the internet. This is the Dear Abby podcast. I hope you stay and hang out with us. See you in a sec. Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to the Dear Abby podcast. I'm your host. My name is Abby. Welcome back. I hope y'all had a good week, and I'm here. I'm talking like this because my hair looks really bad, very frizzy on the top of my head, so I threw on a cowboy hat. It's not really a cowboy hat. It's made out of straw. I guess it doesn't mean it's not a cowboy hat, but it's not like a nice one, you know? So here I am wearing a hat on my head. I look a little bit foolish, but don't care. I look foolish, don't care. Ask me how much I care, I don't. And that's today's theme of the episode is I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. You know why? Because I'm depressed. Okay, seriously, that's not the theme, but today has been a whirlwind. Every time I'm gonna record that day, I go back and forth with a million different episode titles, themes, ideas that I want to talk about, things I've been thinking about. I have been truthfully feeling very insecure about my podcast lately. And that is because I have listened to a lot of podcasts recently. And for some reason, I feel this is definitely probably not as common as it is replaying in my head. Doesn't matter. Still hurts my feelings. But I just hear and see so many podcasts that have been up for like a couple of months, and they are just already banking it in, and this is like their full-time job. They get to go on a bunch of other podcasts, and it's like doing really well, and people are really responsive and stuff like that. I've lost sight of my vision for my podcast. I feel like my vision as in anytime I have expectations going into my podcast, or like I want it to be my full-time job, anything that puts a money amount on my podcast and makes me instantly feel way more anxious, way more pressure. I feel less real. I want to be less vulnerable. I want to be sulky because everyone else is like successful and I'm in Orange County, California, and everyone here is very successful, very wealthy. Everyone around me is doing very, very well. And when you have a lot of successful people around you that have already made it, in the sense of they're not as anxious about money all the time, they have a good amount of savings, I can't really help but initially compare myself when we go do something and I feel like I can't afford it, so I don't go, or I feel like I put people in a weird situation or something because I can't afford it. And then I'm like, well, like I just like I feel weird. No one makes me feel weird. I think internally I just feel a little bit insecure. And that's showing through my doubts in my head about my podcast, about bearing my soul quite literally almost weekly to a bunch of people. I hope if you ever get the sense that seem off or seem different or something, I'm probably in my head and I'm probably insecure. Not that, okay, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I quit. I'm just kidding. I think I'm also just biting off more than I can chew sometimes with a couple other side things I'm trying to get started and get running. And then I have my podcast, my 9 to 5. I talk about this every single week, but it's still, sometimes things don't just go away in a week. You know, a lot of podcasts, a lot of people online, they'll be like, oh, okay, this week we're talking about this. And then this week we're talking about this. And in my head, I'm like, oh, they moved on from that fast. Or, oh, wow, they were only insecure for 1 week. That's crazy. For me, it lasts a lot longer. Like these like things that I'm going through and these phases and these insecurities, and it just like is a lifelong thing. And I think something that I wanted to talk about this week was holding your feelings, whether good or bad. Good or bad are the wrong words, but I think positive or negative feeling. So truth be told, I've been feeling like when I hear you want to give your audience value, you want to give them something, I feel like, I don't have anything. You know, I feel like, even though deep down I feel like I have something valuable and I'm just at least relatable at the least, and I value the full range of human experience and good and bad, highs and lows, but I just haven't been feeling like I have much to give. So that translates to feeling really insecure every time an episode drops or something. That being said, though, I feel hopeful that I'll kind of get confidence back and that this is just another ebb and flow and the many that I will probably have with what I do. It just was kind of a bad or a sad week, I think, and especially a sad day. And sometimes it just feels good to express, you know, when you feel sad or you feel insecure or you feel discouraged by something. Sometimes just admitting that to yourself just almost takes the pressure off and just actually lets you keep going. I don't have any dubs and L's for today. We won't do any dubs and L's, but I also don't know if you guys even like those. To be honest, you guys might even hate those. I have no idea. I need to do like a survey or something to see, but I also think it's probably not helpful to admit to your viewers that you don't know if you have value to give, because then they're like, well, then why the heck am I here? Honestly, I don't want anyone to assume that I think I know everything, nor that I actually know everything, because I think that you are your best ally. So I'm just your friend. I'm just your friend here talking about everything, making you feel a little bit less cuckoo in the head if you have anxiety or OCD or depression or yeah. Or if you don't, you know? We all have our issues. I've been thinking a lot about the difference for me between sadness and like depression, because as I've mentioned, I have been diagnosed with depression and it does ebb and flow, and it kind of has for a couple of years now. I don't think I've had that my whole life. Some people have had it since they were a kid, which is blows my mind, but I think that's only been the past couple of years that I've really experienced the depths of it. I've learned the worst part about when you're depressed is when you can't cry anymore. When you can't cry anymore, that's what depression is to me in some degree. I mean, there's so many different variations of depression, but one main aspect that I really don't like is when I feel so frustrated and sad and discouraged and I can't cry. There's no release. Like I can't release it in the normal form that I do, which is crying. I'm a big crier. That's how a lot of things get moved through. And that's how I feel the most human, honestly, is by crying. When I can't even do that, I feel so not connected to myself. I feel so distant. I feel scared that I'm not able to cry. Quite frankly, just that compared to sadness, like sadness to me is when you can kind of fully, it's like a full expression of something and you're able to feel it and it feels good. It feels releasing. It moves you. When depression doesn't move you, it just keeps you stuck. It's like you just keep hitting a wall over and over and over again and it doesn't lead you anywhere. You know, if you click into the thoughts and you go down those rabbit holes that you've been many times that have never really solved anything or helped anything or pushed you forward. You can't win over there. You know what I mean? Same with OCD, thoughts, compulsive behaviors, rumination. You can't win. You can't solve it. You will never solve it. Whatever it is, you cannot ever solve it. I've just been a sad girl. I've listened to a lot of sad songs. I've noticed. I don't think men will ever understand this, and that's okay. Women just need to cry or do something. I just feel sad out of nowhere. Like, and that's, I'm talking about sadness. Sadness, melancholy, whatever. I feel sad or melancholy out of literally nowhere sometimes. And it's not connected to anything. Like it can't, it's just like, I feel so sad and heavy. I just want to cry. If I can't like evoke the feelings, like if I kind of feel them, but they're not coming to surface, they don't feel safe enough or whatever it is. They're not like coming to the forefront. Sometimes I will go on a walk, but mostly if I listen to sad type of music, I don't know. There's some music that's kind of too dark to be sad music. I think just like I still care, but I'm sad music, not like apathetic music. That just makes me feel worse. I listen to sad girl music and I feel like brings feelings up. And then I just cry because a woman nowadays, you have to be so, I mean, they've always had to be so strong, but now we have to work. We have to, You know, if you're a mom, you have to parent your children while probably also working and probably not working a job you necessarily would dream of doing, because sometimes that's just like how life falls into place. You're also seeing things online about what a woman should be, what a woman shouldn't be, a million different voices on what a woman is. And so it can be very exhausting. Growing up, I've joked around about the podcast how I've been like a retired, I mean, my whole thing is like I'm a retired pick me girl. It's just like a cute little thing, but kind of makes sense, kind of doesn't, because I haven't retired. Makeup is dumb. Makeup is stupid. Makeup is dumb. Getting your nails is dumb. You have no brain if you get your nails done. That's my pick me girl impression. You know what? I actually did. I remember I'd make comments on makeup when I was like in junior high. Not to girls, to guys, of course. Not straight to girls, but definitely probably to guys. About like, I don't wear makeup. Which I didn't. To be fair, I did not know how to do makeup. Most of us didn't. Gosh, that's such a horrible time in everyone's lives. But growing up, I had a lot of brothers. So I have four brothers, one sister. Me and Chelsea are pretty similar, but also pretty different. I loved playing, since I was very young, I would play video games with my brothers, because I think if I didn't have brothers, I probably wouldn't play video games, but they introduced me and it was fun, so I liked it. But I'd also start with like mini clips or like MySeen or Webkinz or Neopets. You know, that's the kind of PC gaming I started with. For some reason, I like to do a lot of things that statistically more men like to do. But as a young girl who had a lot of anxiety, had a lot of intrusive thoughts already, was already pinching herself, poor little girl, for having intrusive thoughts, sexual thoughts, you know, just normal, probably human thoughts that I just thought were bad. That poor little girl probably felt she was too much for everyone emotionally, because who was going to understand that I was having these thoughts in kindergarten or when I was like in second grade writing an essay and I had horrible thoughts about like, I don't know, random stuff. I probably never felt, I guess, like, well, I didn't felt really understood by any of my friends. That's probably common amongst most people in life. And then I love my siblings, but I was always like little anxiety girl. That's what they'd call me. Weak, that type of stuff. Normal brother behavior. And I think I let that really get into my head. That like, oh, I'm weak. I'm too much. Nobody understands me. Nobody wants to understand me. I'm alone. People suck anyways. That I'm just like cool, masculine energy because my girl side got rejected by pretty much everyone. My poor mom tried probably her best. Well, did try her best to probably keep the feminine side of me alive. And yet I really stomped on that thing my whole childhood. And it's just a defense mechanism because I really wasn't understood. I felt by a lot of people. The reason I'm even talking about this is because I'm talking about getting in the flow of being more, I guess, feminine, not in like the pop culture way of like feminine means to, I don't know. There's like so many different variations of what feminine means. So it's whatever it means to you personally, whatever, it, like if you're a woman, whatever you feel like, men, no offense, ask your woman what she thinks being feminine is. You don't tell her what being feminine is. I've been kind of claiming that emotional side of me again and being proud of it and being like learning how to A, be emotional while also not being toxic and also not making everyone need to know everything about all of my emotions. But I feel like it just sometimes if you're a very emotional person, they get a bad rap because usually emotional people, if you don't know how to handle them, you do kind of like we can kind of control the room and bring things down with our emotions, or we can lash out. We can be maybe more argumentative, kind of explode or something. Like there's a bunch of things that emotional people can affect poorly. Again, the emotions aren't bad. I think it's beautiful and so. It's like my favorite thing about life, honestly, just because it drives you to meaningful things if you let it. Anyways, grew up, didn't care. I'm a tomboy, but internally a little bit was sad that emotionally I couldn't really fully express myself I just, especially with dating, I was like, I'm too cool. Like, I don't really care. You don't text me back. Who cares? And most people will be like, oh, well, that's really strong. Like, you're really strong. That's a very, you know. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Internally, though, I was just making it harder and harder for me to eventually be vulnerable with somebody that I really cared about, because I wouldn't even let myself really get hurt anymore. So I chose to kind of be annoyed with people and see their faults. Tale as old as time. You don't let people in because you don't want to get hurt. You also choose not to like people first. So then if they don't like you, you're like, well, I don't care. I didn't like you first. I don't do that anymore. Okay. All the time. Just kidding. I don't, but I did for a long time. I realized that in my previous marriage, I'm not married right now, but I was married. I wasn't good at being totally vulnerable and totally accepting when I was wrong and totally owning all of my stuff. I didn't even really realize how bad it was until I got into a relationship with my now boyfriend. And he's very, no offense to my ex-husband, but he was kind of like, I could kind of walk all over him. I'm not proud of that. You know, I'm a little bit insecure about that sometimes because it scared me that I didn't really recognize how much I was walking all over him. I just didn't understand. I didn't know. And he didn't really push back ever. So then I just thought we were good. But now I'm with someone who will speak their mind, who will tell me, you're being crazy and you're kind of being a brat right now. And I'm like, excuse me, no one's ever said that to me before. And it's been hard to work on truly being myself and letting myself have emotions, but also learning how to handle them and how to use them for good instead of evil. I think being feminine to me now is to be caring, that if you are more of an emotional woman, to let yourself have those random cries in the shower, those crying on the way home in the car, probably not the safest. I try not to do that, but sometimes I can't help it. I cry so much in the car. I don't know what it is about the car, but or to just be so ticked, even though it's like I'm in a healthy relationship. Everything is like okay, but I think a beautiful part of emotions and of being a woman is it's like you still feel like randomly just random big emotions and random emotions where you're like, I don't know why I feel this way. Sometimes it kind of leads you to like maybe something that does need to actually be intellectually like understood and acted upon, but sometimes it's random and you just want to listen to music, you know, angry music or fun music or silly music or sad music, really sad music. And then you can cry, scream, laugh, whatever. Men think we're crazy because of it. But let me tell you, men, if you encourage your woman to be her full self, if you make room, if you encourage her to be herself fully and that you'll hold her in all of her emotions, and that just means not trying to shame her, not trying to make her feel bad, not trying to make her feel stupid, not trying to make her feel dramatic, even if she is being a little bit dramatic, because we can be dramatic sometimes in the way that we have emotions, because it could be out of nowhere. But I think women have this beautiful, and okay, hold on. If you let her, why does that word sound so weird? Do you know what you guys, shut up. Shut up. You guys know what I'm saying. Shut up. You know what I'm saying. If you do that, I promise you, if you don't make her shut her emotions up and be the masculine, be the man, be the, like, I can't have any feelings because, you know, I need to be the super strong one 24/7 and never show emotion, you know, that type of thing. You need to step up as a man and help her recognize her feelings again, and that it's okay to cry randomly. It's okay to get emotional. If you do that, I promise you, your intimacy will skyrocket up. You know why? Because she'll feel safe. She'll feel loved. She'll feel like actually her connected to herself, which does help in the bedroom. By bedroom, I mean intimacy. I've been thinking about that a lot lately, about my evolution of why I say retired pick me girl. I can go into depth another day about like actually how bad it was, but yeah, I think I just wanted to talk about woman and their emotions. It's not like women just are emotional, nothing else. Like, we can be emotional, but also if I'm at work, if I'm somewhere where I need to be professional or whatever, I can be chill. I can be chill. I can be professional. I can be smart. I can be intellectual. I can share my opinions. If someone corrects me, I don't get mad. I don't let my ego take control. But then I will cry on the way home, probably. I'll feel sad, probably. Will I know why? No. Well, yes, probably because I said something stupid or I said something that was like, oh my gosh, did they take it that the wrong way? Yeah, I'll probably think about that the whole ride home. I think we should take the power back in being emotional, because this is the game plan. Learn how to deal with, learn how to deal with your emotions in a healthy way. So if you have big emotions or medium or small emotions, don't let it blind you and don't let it take control. You can be friends with your emotions. You can be with each other, but you are still in control and you need to be still thoughtful about, I don't know. It can be hard. Okay. That's all I'm saying. Women do have a tendency to emotionally manipulate people, emotionally manipulate their partners, their men. And that's our responsibility as women to understand how to not do that and to understand ourselves. But at the same time, that emotional aspect is like what makes us, you know? That's all I'm talking about. I hope that made sense, any of that. Tune in next week when we talk about sensitivity versus fragility. I don't really know exactly what that means, but it's a clickbaity. Maybe people will listen to it. I did want to talk about next week though. We're going to talk about, I never really do this. I never really share what we're doing next week before. This is weird, but I wanted to share like my experience with being hypersensitive, and then also, which I think that plays a role in like my emotions, because I think that's like they're very hand in hand. I don't know. Not a psychologist, not a therapist, don't know anything. I want to talk about hypersensitivity and then also being sensitive versus like really fragile, or like having a fragile ego or taking yourself too seriously and stuff like that. So should be interesting episode. We will take our power back as women. Okay, you guys, I am feeling very, very excited and emo because this podcast is now made possible by No CD. You guys have heard me talk about No CD a million times in my podcast. I did therapy there. I go to support groups still to this day. And it's been such a huge part of my recovery journey. I couldn't be more excited about this partnership with them. NoCD offers effective, affordable, and convenient OCD therapy. NoCD therapists are trained in exposure response prevention therapy, which is a gold standard treatment for OCD. With NoCD, you can do virtual, live, face-to-face video sessions with one of their licensed, specialty-trained therapists from anywhere inside or outside the U.S. It's affordable and they accept most major insurance plans, so getting help has never been easier. NoCD therapy goes beyond sessions. It includes in-between session support where you can message your therapist anytime, access therapeutic tools, and get support from a community of peers who are overcoming OCD right in the NoCD platform. Breaking the OCD cycle takes effective treatment. Visit NoCD.com today and book a free 15-minute call with their care team, many of whom have also experienced OCD. If you think you may be struggling with OCD, there's always hope. Now is a time to regain your life. Visit NoCD.com today. I just think women are incredible. If men lifted more women up and took them seriously, and if women were kinder to men and took them more seriously, cared about their mental health, then the world would be a better place. If you guys don't like the hat, just leave a comment on YouTube if you don't like the hat look. I don't know what I was thinking. Or if you do like it. Sometimes I think, I don't think you guys have ever really seen fully how weird I can be, because I know you guys have seen blah, 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 talk, serious Abby a lot of times, crying Abby, you've seen her. Why am I talking to myself in the third person? I don't know. The fame's getting to my head. But I don't think you guys have ever really fully seen how weird I can be, because I'm scared I'll be rejected.
Dear Abby, how do I leave a group chat from college that I feel like it would be really awkward to leave? So it's on the app GroupMe, if you haven't heard of it. It's basically just like a app for group chats for people, and you can have like hundreds of people in a different group. And so a lot of people in college will use it for like clubs and different things. So I was in a club in college, and there was a group of friends who made like a separate like friend group chat on GroupMe. And they would, you know, just like add anybody who like hung out in the group, and they would just text like, hey guys, we're hanging out tonight at this place, like show up if you want to. Like, it was just like a really chill, friendly group chat. And it had a lot of different age people. And my freshman year, I don't know. I was added to it, and I was actually like really good friends with these people, like hung out with them quite a bit. But then towards the end of college, I ended up not really hanging out with them as much. And and so now I'm just in this group chat. I graduated over a year ago. And people still talk in the group chat kind of regularly, but not super, super regularly. And I'm just feeling like I don't really use the app anymore. I don't really, like, talk in the group that much anymore at all. Most of the people who are in it have already graduated. And there's even people who, like, never talk in the chat who graduated, like, 5 years ago or something. Like, not 5 years ago, that's dramatic. But they graduated way before me, and they're still in the group, and they just, like, don't say anything, but they're still in it. I'm just like, can I just leave this group? Because it just seems like a lot, and I'm, like, not even in it anymore, so... Yeah, I guess, what's your advice on how to leave? Because GroupMe notifies people when you leave, and they'll know that I left, and I'm afraid that people will text me and be like, why did you leave? Did, like, we do something or something? And, like, oh, it's just so awkward, and there's no real reason I want to leave other than I just don't want to be in it anymore, and I don't talk. So what's your advice? Please help.
Yeah, just, I don't think anyone really is, maybe they'll take offense to it, but I think just leave. Just leave. I left like a family group meme, which is kind of bad, but I just didn't look at it. Like, I didn't look at it. And plus, sometimes, you know, you like to catch up in person. So if you see anyone from the group in person, or if they text you, just be like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I never checked it. And I'm just, yeah, I don't know. I just don't want to be in the group anymore. And if they take that personally, you know, that's okay, because maybe it is hurtful for them, but also not your responsibility. So I would say just leave. They'll get the notification. And if anyone reaches out, well, I don't know. Would you say something before you leave? There's going to be consequences no matter what you do. If there's a bunch of people in the chat, I don't think they would care that much, right? Just leave. Don't care. Just leave. I get what you're saying, where you feel weird for leaving. I felt weird leaving my family's one. I don't know. I think I might have just deleted the app so I don't get the notifications anymore. If anyone asks, you could say, I just wanted to, you know, hear about everyone's lives in person. And, you know, if they cared about you enough, they would probably text you if there was like a big thing that maybe they think you would want to go to and stuff like that. All right, that's all for today's episode. Thank you guys for listening to Dear Abby. Sorry, I was a bit of a sad girl at the beginning. And I'm not quitting the podcast, just FYI. I am very grateful for everyone that listens. Like, I really, really am. And that's honestly the reason why I keep going, is because I would lie if I say I don't ever think about how many people listen. You know, I want to eventually be able to do this full time and invest more time and effort into it. Then what keeps me going is I think of that I already have so many listeners. And every single one of those listeners is getting something. And even if that's just like a friend, or if that's someone, again, that makes them feel less crazy and is being honest on the internet about all the dark things, you know, I do think about that, and that's worth it to me. So I love you guys. And yeah, hope you have a good weekend. Sorry I posted late last week. I apologize. So yeah. Love you guys. Bye. Ooh, heads on taking a ride to join it late. 눈치 보면서 들어가야 할 때 찾아. 나머진 바빠. 개설레임 바꾸는 사람.